prayer. The Lord has encouraged me to give this month of October to a focus on prayer. So as I said already, we will be hosting the Washington Region Everything Change Prayer Rally and Prayer Conference on the final weekend of this month. In Discipleship Mosaic, the adults are taking part in the prayer course offered by Alpha International and with Paul Nara facilitating. I'm going to be making social media posts, which, by the way, you can share. That helps it become more social. Communications regarding prayer throughout the month. My hope is that by the end of this month, we will have all grown in our understanding of prayer, our desire to pray, and our confidence in praying. Prayer is essential, basic to life, evidenced throughout biblical history. Therefore, we have volumes of information written about prayer. And so I'm going to start with sharing a few quotes from authors that I have read. Timothy Keller in Prayer, Experiencing Awe and Intimacy with God. He says, "The Bible is all about God, and that is why the practice of prayer is so pervasive throughout its pages. The greatness of prayer is nothing but an extension of the greatness and glory of God in our lives. The scripture is one long testimony to this truth. To fail to pray, then, is not to merely break some religious rule. It is a failure to treat God as God. It is a sin against his glory." Ted Loader in Guerrillas of Grace, Prayers for the Battle, says, "Praying itself is a part of the process by which grace becomes operative in the world. The prayer becomes a participating point of the entry and expansion of grace." So that Augustine is also right in saying, without God, we cannot. Without us, God will not. Henri Nouwen in The Name of Jesus, "The original meaning of the word theology was union with God in prayer. Today, theology has become one academic discipline alongside many others, and often theologians are finding it hard to pray. But for the future of Christian leadership, it is of vital importance to reclaim the mystical aspect of theology so that every word spoken, every word of advice given, and every strategy developed can come from a heart that knows God intimately." Mark Batterson in The Circle Maker, "God has determined that certain expressions of his power will only be exercised in response to prayer. Simply put, God won't do it unless you pray for it. We have not because we ask not. The greatest tragedy in life is the prayers that go unanswered because they go unasked." Philip Yancey in Prayer, "Does it make any difference? I have come to see prayer as a privilege, not a duty. Like all good things, prayer requires some discipline. Yet I believe that life with God should seem more like friendship than duty. Prayer includes moments of ecstasy and also dullness, mindless distraction and acute concentration, flashes of joy and bouts of irritation. In other words, prayer has features in common with all relationships that matter." In the prayer course, today's session discussed intercession. The description reads, "Intercession is praying for the kingdom of God to come in our world." So in this session, they explored how to pray for others powerfully. We also focus on Jesus, the ultimate intercessor. So other topics, there's three more weeks of this to come, friends, if you haven't made it, are perseverance, listening, and warfare. So I encourage you, 9:30 a.m., and Paul is, I keep hearing great things about how Paul is doing in leading this and facilitating it. In the months of planning for the coming prayer rally and conference, I have received all kinds of encouragements for prayer. The theme verse that our communications coordinator puts on every message is this: when we pray, everything changes. So always be joyful, never stop praying, from 1 Thessalonians 5. There are many ways that we could organize our exploration of prayer. For this series, we're going to look at four prayers in the scripture and learn from each of them. We are starting today with the preeminent model, Jesus of Nazareth. We will also look at Moses, King David, and the Apostle Paul. So today, prayers of Jesus. According to J.C. Lambert, the distinctively Christian view of prayer comes to us from the Christ of the Gospels. So Jesus modeled prayer, he taught how to pray, and he taught about prayer. His example made it clear that prayer is, as Lambert puts it, not a mere energizing of the religious soul that is followed by beneficial spiritual reactions, but it is as the request of a child to a father, secure always of loving attention and response. We know that Jesus, when he was cleansing the temple, declared that his temple should be a house of prayer. In Jesus' teachings of how to pray, we have the model of the Lord's Prayer, and then his explanation on the night of his betrayal that from now on, his followers would pray to the Father in the name of the Son. We see how the early church followed Jesus' model of prayer, and it was in a praying atmosphere that the church was born, and throughout its early history, prayer continued to be what God's people did when they got together. Lambert ends, thus Christian prayer in its full New Testament meaning is prayer addressed to God as Father in the name of Christ as mediator and through the enabling grace of the indwelling Spirit. Throughout the gospel narratives are many instances where we are told that Jesus was praying. It's interesting, though, that however, there are only a few instances where we are told what he actually said in prayer. One of those was one that we read last week in Matthew 11. He said, at that time, Jesus prayed this prayer, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, thank you for hiding these things from those who think themselves wise and clever and for revealing them to the childlike. Yes, Father, it pleased you to do it this way. This is a remarkable glimpse into Jesus' relationship with the Father and his delight in the will of God. And it models a type of prayer that we can take to heart. This wasn't a statement of a need. It wasn't a request for himself. It wasn't intercession for others. It was a resort to God, a moment of soul rest with God. He was just saying, I love how you did that, God. There are times that that's what we can do. Just express to God our approval of him. I love the way you did that, God. Our delight in him, our wonder at his unique and awe-inspiring person. Yes, thanksgiving, sure. Praise, of course, but beyond that, just appreciation and adoration, a joyous acknowledgement of his self. Jesus modeled that for us in this prayer. Just absolute that's what you did, God. I thank you for that. Another of Jesus' prayers took place outside the tomb of Lazarus. In John 11, we read, so they rolled the stone aside. Then Jesus looked up to heaven and said, Father, thank you for hearing me. You always hear me, but I said it out loud for the sake of all these people standing here so that they will believe you sent me. There are times to pray publicly and for the words of that public prayer to be intentionally prayed for the benefit of those people standing there in order to glorify God. I've been blessed with the opportunity to offer prayer in public places. Pastor Craig has a long history of offering invocations in all sorts of settings. And some of you have been able to pray and offer prayer in places other than your home or here at church. Jesus modeled for us that public prayer given for the purpose of his kingdom is appropriate. In one of his teachings on prayer, he warned against praying publicly in order to impress people or to create some false image of righteousness. But that is not what this kind of prayer is about. We need to discern when the time is right for public prayer that benefits the hearer, draws them closer to God, and opens their heart and mind to a new level of belief in God. A type of prayer Jesus offered was a prayer of blessing. We see it in Matthew 19. One day, some parents brought their children to Jesus so he could lay his hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples scolded the parents for bothering him. But Jesus said, "Let the children come to me. Don't stop them. For the kingdom of heaven belongs to those who are like these children." And he placed his hands on their heads and blessed them before he left. So in verse 13, it says they were bringing him that he would lay his hands on them and pray for them. And then verse 15 says he placed his hands on their head and blessed them. It was a prayer of blessing. This was a customary request on the Day of Atonement for a child to be brought to the elders to receive a blessing. And we don't know all the reasons the disciples resisted this request, but a couple of possibilities are that they reckoned Jesus to be much more than just an ordinary elder, and that he should not be bothered with this particular request. And or the usual attitude toward children in Jewish society was that they were of no importance. Jesus contradicts both of those ideas and affectionately welcomes the children. We don't know the actual words of his prayer of blessing, but we know that he had time for it, he valued the practice, and he modeled it for us. One of the kinds of prayers that we can pray is just simply praying a blessing on people. Another type of blessing that is that Jesus routinely offered thanks before breaking bread. And the scripture uses the word he blessed it. And that is the normal giving of thanks before a meal, the responsibility of the head of the Jewish family. And he is blessing God for the food rather than blessing the food. Okay, so the children, he was blessing the children. But in this kind of blessing over food, it's more that he's blessing God for the food. Before feeding the 5,000, before feeding the 4,000, at the Emmaus meal, and in every account of the Last Supper, we see Jesus offering thanks. He modeled this prayer for us. I felt encouraged while studying this to update my language and not say, "Hey, let's bless the food," but say, "Let's give thanks and bless God for providing the food." It was a daily Jewish ritual, but in Christian memory, it became filled with much fuller meaning because it pointed forward to this great feast when Christ would be at the head, distributing the food to all and it have his blessing. And so that's what the writers of the Gospels, when they're telling us about how Jesus blessed the food, there's this connection to this future feast where we will be with Jesus. But Jesus modeled this blessing prayer for us. There are times where we read that Jesus went to pray or was praying, but we don't know the content at all. Often it was in solitude, in the early morning, sometimes throughout an entire night. He was praying when he was baptized. He was praying at the Mount of Transfiguration. Prior to healings, we see that he was praying. Before the working of miracles, We see he was praying. Jesus' life was a life of prayer. And as he approached his death, he continued to model prayer. In John 17, we have his high priestly prayer. And I'm not going to read the entire chapter, but it is there on the YouVersion for you. This is the longest section we have of actually knowing the content of one of Jesus' prayers. Here's a summary. In verses 1 through 5, we see a profound communion between the Son and the Father. In verses 6 through 19, he is praying for his disciples. He prays that they be kept by the Father. He prays for their unity. He prays that they be kept from the evil one and that they be sanctified and set apart for the purpose of being sent into the world. And in beginning in verse 20, he starts praying for Christ's ultimate followers who would believe because of the disciples' words. That's us. For our unity, for the world to believe, and for us to see his glory. Before Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed for you and me. He is still our high priest. Hebrews 7:25 says he lives forever to make intercession for us. Jesus is still praying for us today. He ever lives to make intercession for us. And then in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus prayed for himself. He wrestled in prayer. He was deeply troubled. His sweat was intense, like drops of blood. And what we know he said is, Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. None of us will ever have to drink the cup that Jesus took for us. However, all of us will at some point or another have to pray, not my will, but yours be done. That choice will confront you. The wrestling match to take your will to the mat is not easy. But remember, Jesus went before you. He is today still praying for you. And God, your loving Heavenly Father, will listen to you wrestle and wait and be faithful as you pray through to surrender. And then we know of some prayers Jesus prayed on the cross. First, we hear him say, my God, why have you forsaken me? This prayer comes straight from the Psalms, which is a book of prayer. In the darkest hour of his crucifixion, Jesus cries out in anguish. Yet note that this is not a nihilistic despair, a complete disavowal of God. He acknowledges the full bitterness of the cup he has received from the Father and cries out to God in that anguish. He doesn't say, there is no God. He cries out with the anguish of the bitterness of the cup that he has said, not my will, but yours be done. And then he prayed, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. The level of mercy and grace evident in this prayer is a profound insight into Jesus' intercession for us. He is our advocate, our defender, interceding on our behalf. To fully partner with Jesus in prayer is to also love mercy and extend grace. That's a hard prayer to pray. Forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. I'm more like, slap them, God, because they don't know what they're doing. But we can follow Jesus' model. And then at the end, he said, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. This is the highest form of recognition. God as Father, ruler of the cosmos, mighty, holy, above all powers, loving, just, and righteous, and therefore worthy of the ultimate trust. Because no matter the anguish I feel, I know this about you, God. I recognize this about you, my Father. I commend my spirit into your hands. L.D. Bevin says, prayer here again assumes its highest form in the expression of recognition and trust. Thus, the three prayers on the cross not only reveal the intimate relation of our Lord to the Father, but they also illustrate prayer such as man, such as you and I can offer. They represent supplication, intercession, and communion. Prayer thus expresses our relation to God, to others, to ourselves, our trust, our love, our need. So I'm wrapping this up. Jesus encouraged his followers to always pray and never give up. And he modeled prayer as a full-orbed life with God. So here's what we've learned from Jesus. We learned from Jesus adoration, amazement, and wonder. The profound appreciation of God for who he is. We learn to publicly glorify God through prayer, that the hearers may attain new levels of belief. We learn to bless God and bless others through prayer, being thankful and gracious, not proud or elitist. We learn to pray in solitude, pray in crowds, pray in community, pray in the morning, pray in the night. We learn to intercede, holding others before God in prayer. We learn supplication, bearing our soul's need in openness to the Lord. We learn to lift our eyes beyond the horizon of our own existence, believing and trusting God for his kingdom to outlive our time on this earth. We learn that in surrender to God's will, our lives find their deepest fulfillment. We learn that even when we feel forsaken, God can handle the anguish of our cries. We learn that the power of mercy, grace, and forgiveness dethrones mockery, hate, and violence. We know that Jesus commended his spirit unto the Father. God did receive and approve his sacrifice and raised him to life evermore on the third day. Because of Christ, we can now commend all our life forever to God and know that nothing can separate us from his love. No plan of the enemy can ever prevail. We can live in full faith and trust in the finished work of Christ on the cross. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Today, we are going to end praying. There may be a prayer that Jesus modeled that is speaking to you right now. It's bubbling up. It's forging expression. A prayer fervently desiring to be prayed. It may be adoration or blessing. It may be intercession or supplication. A cry of anguish or a pleading for forgiveness. A prayer for ultimate surrender and ultimate victory. Let us allow these prayers to breathe, to be spoken, to fill this place in the here and now, making this room a house of prayer. Now, I know you guys. There's not a lot of shouters, I guess I'll say, in here. I got that. But you need to practice praying in this space to make this a house of prayer. So I'm going to invite you, come and kneel. When I'm praying during the week, I often walk up and down in here, if that feels better to you, if you need to move while you're walking. But we're going to give about 5 minutes here to just prayer. And whichever prayer it is, if you need hands laid on you, I'm willing to do that, okay? But let's just take this moment now. I'm going to invite you to stand because I'd like you to change your position, even if you're going to sit right back down. Let's stand for a moment. Father, we offer this time to you to pray. Help us to learn from Jesus the way to pray, the prayer you've given to us. Help us to pray, Lord, in Jesus' name. All right, I invite you to find a spot, and we're going to give some time to prayer.